Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the weekly rant, rave, and review radio show where we talk all of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the past week's current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and this week's special guest co-host,
Craig Hurley.
You're also invited to call in and stand on my soapbox with us. Call now at 347-989-0126 to join the conversation. Now, here he is, stepping up to the microphone, your host, Scott Fullerton.
Howdy, 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 everybody. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox, or should I now say, Standing on Our Soapbox. Guys, I'm so excited to announce we have a regular co-host for Standing on My Soapbox, Mr. Craig Hurley. He is an actor, he is a writer, he is an activist, he is so much more, and always has fantastic opinions on everything from politics, the environment, to entertainment, to so many other things. So we're going to have a fun time. So let's go ahead and bring him on. Mr. Craig Hurley, how the heck are you, my friend?
Hey, man. What's up?
I am excited to have you as our new little co-host. I can hear you great.
I'm having some serious technical difficulties over here with my computer, so I have to call in. Sorry, man. I'm going to try to figure this out.
What do they say? Bad preview and excellent opening. Is that what Katie says? Is that what happens in the entertainment world?
Yep. Well,
we know we're
going to
have a fantastic season
today.
After this.
It's okay. Technical difficulties.
Well, welcome
it's
to the
something
show,
I'll get
my friend. I'm so
thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited.
I'm
to have
really
you
excited
on.
About this too. I may not be showing it, and like a hour and a half ago in traffic, I got into an automobile accident, so I'm a little off. I got rear-ended, so. Which is all good. His car got a hell of a lot more damage than mine did. So, but that's all.
Well, I am so sorry to hear that. I am glad you're able to make it in. You guys have been doing a lot of commuting. I'm glad it hasn't happened beforehand, going back and forth to that theater. Of course, your fiance Katie is in a fantastic new play, started previews already. How's that going for her?
Really, really well. She's in a play called The Abuelas. She just had her interview with you just a couple days ago, right?
Exactly.
And The Abuelas, which means grandmothers in Spanish, and it's a really, really good play, especially right now with what's happening on the border with the caging of children. A similar thing happened in Argentina in the 1970s, late 70s, where the government was actually taking artists and pregnant artists, couples, and putting them in concentration camps and taking their babies when their babies were born, and then executing the parents and by throwing them out of airplanes over the Atlantic Ocean, and just horrific shit. And excuse my language. And then taking the babies and giving them to parents who were associated with the local government or with the government at that time, and in order to raise them as children of that regime instead of dissidents, which always are. So that's what we do. We mirror image because I'm an artist. I think I said that yesterday. That we're a mirror image to society, and we tend to show things that people don't like about themselves. So you know, right. that's kind of our jobs. You know, I hate to be that way, but that's what we're supposed to do in order to make sure that we all are civil to each other, or that we progressively move forward in this world instead of backwards. So,
exactly.
The abuela,
I mean, at its
art
core, that's what acting is all about, is making someone feel something. And this is something we all should be feeling, especially what's going on in our own country these days.
The abuelas is about grandmothers that, because I remember hearing about this in the 1980s. But late 80s, and like it was happening in 1978 and 79. And I remember hearing that they were attacking artists, but artists have always been attacked throughout our whole human existence. We've been attacked. It's always been, you know, no dogs or actors allowed, all that type of stuff. I didn't understand what the extent was, and I didn't understand what exactly they were trying to accomplish in doing that. And then now this play is about the grandmothers who are going after or looking for their grandchildren and the babies that were adopted by military families or by families that were associated with the government at the time. And the problem is that those families don't, either the kids don't want their adopted parents to have to go through anything like prison. So, because that's, they're an accessory to kidnapping and murder. So they, you know, even if they didn't know about it, they still knew after the regime left. All of this came out, and the abuelas are a huge thing in Argentina, in all of South America, and even it extends into Mexican culture as well. So it extends up to North America. So, you know, abuelas have always been a very, very powerful individual in a family unit. And so for them to be looking for their kids right now, for their grandkids right now, and it's current, they're currently looking for these children. And all the children that are, they're forced to take DNA tests and stuff like that. They've been literally forced to accept that they're one of the disappeared, because that's what they call them, that they don't want they want to wait for their adopted parents to pass. They want to wait for their adopted parents to die, so then they can find out, you know, if it happened, and so that way their adopted parents, because most of the time their adopted parents treated them like gold. So she, you know,
right.
I mean, they were extremely wealthy, affluent individuals that were, you know, raising these children to do whatever the children wanted to do in their lives. So, you know, it's really difficult for the kids. And then it's extremely difficult for the parents, because some of the parents, the adopted parents, didn't know. They knew 10 years later. They knew when the child was 10 that, you know, that there was something wrong, because this baby just showed up. And then
right.
they were also told that they'd be killed if they ever said anything. And all the neighbors knew that a baby just showed up. So, you know, people knew, but nobody really wanted to accuse these people. So, because a lot of them were like, I didn't realize that that's what they were doing to the parents. So, you know, they
right.
didn't realize. They were told that these parents were orphans. So a lot of the adoptive parents were told that the babies were orphans. Some
That's
weren't.
Just crazy.
And they've already been
hearing,
jailed. And yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and now we're hearing in our country that we have thousands more parents and children separated, where they never even kept a registry of this. So nobody knows where anyone's are, which I'm assuming is the same from Mexico at the same time.
And they're from all over, but they're from all over different countries too. They're not, you know, like the caravan originally, that thing started in Venezuela. We have, Katie has a jewelry line, and our, because I'm the one that introduced her to her at the Miami Fashion Show. I can't believe I'm saying this, but whatever. a jewelry designer. We have a jewelry designer that lives in Venezuela. And they had a massive falling out. Like all of their low-income peoples that live there, all were forced out. Forced out. They all had to leave. And it was like 80,000 or 90,000 people that were walking from Venezuela all the way across to Peru, to they walked through Colombia, they walked through all of these South American countries, and then a little tiny bit of them actually ended up close to us or coming across our border. The majority of that are not Mexicans. And Mexico is in North America, guys. It's one of the countries that, you know, I don't know if people understand this. We actually share a border with them in North America. They're not South American. So, you know, I'm not quite understanding. There's 27 different countries in North America. It's like we're just one of them. So, you know, it's like it doesn't make any sense in North America and South America. Sorry. There's 27 different countries. We're all combined here. We're in North America and South America. It's not the United States stands alone only because of the what we're doing right now. That doesn't make any sense. We used to be a part of everybody's shit, everybody's stuff, you know, and making sure that everybody's got some type of democracy happening, some type of freedom happening.
Well, that's the thing that frustrates me the most. I mean, the gall of accusing these migrants of being paid
by running away from something that is
political people to come here, when that's the farthest from the truth, it's because they're being forced to flee from their countries. And our administration is saying that people are paying them to do this. It's left wingers and things like that want them to come to the United States, and it's appalling because we should be all looking out for each other.
Everybody, no, the United. What does the Statue of Liberty say? Come on, I mean that shit was written a long time ago. I didn't write the words. So it's bring us you're hungry and you're poor and you're wretched. I mean, just you're homeless. Bring us everybody. We don't care. This is the world. This is the land of opportunity right here. The United States is supposed to be that. And it's the United States of America. I'm tired of people saying it's America. It's what? It's America. What are you talking about? It's South America and North America. It's the United States. That's all it is. It's the United States of the Americas. So, sorry. I'm just tired of that shit.
Well said. No, I appreciate it. I mean, that's one of the main topics I wanted to hit on. We have – it's still in the news. We have a – we're talking about border walls, and we have this
it's just disgusting.
For no apparent reason
I know
35
the,
days.
I know somebody like Obama used to be called deporter-in-chief because – he actually deported more illegal immigrants. He deported 8,500 illegal immigrants in 8 years. And that's the most that any president has ever deported. The majority of these people were criminals. But some of their criminality was like they got caught smoking a joint twice. I mean, that's not – you're not – are you serious? Every white person in the United States has smoked weed. So, and they get away with it and have gotten away with it forever. So that is just a joke to me, but they're considered criminals and they were illegally here, which I don't really understand illegally, because if you came here and you are having a job here, and actually if you were brought here by your parents, and you're a baby, then there's nothing illegal about that. You had absolutely no fucking choice, to use my language again. But you had no choice whatsoever. And because your parents brought you here when you were two, I know stories like this. I know people like this that were deported, that they were brought here when they were two, lived their entire lives here for 20 or 30 years, and then got nailed on some stupid thing like smoking a joint, and then wanted to become citizens because Obama said, please come over and we'll help you to make you citizens. And Katie's going to hate me for saying this, and you guys might too. I feel, and I said this, I think I said this yesterday, unless you edited it out, because I didn't hear yesterday's show. I don't usually listen to the,
I did not edit anything out, my friend.
Crap that
it was raw, uncut, Hurley. It was raw Hurley.
Was it? Good. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, man. I lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
Well, you were going about Dreamers, pretty much talking about Dreamers, and then
The ones that were two and now they're 30 or 20 and 25, whatever it is. They were brought here and then raised here under this education system and taught everything that they were supposed to be taught via us, via the United States, and then also got jobs. They got normal freaking jobs, McDonald's and Dairy Queen and all that. Had to pay taxes to the United States, had to, and then went and maybe sent some money. I know people that send money to other countries, and it's nothing. It's nothing. It's $100. It's nothing. They can't afford to. They've got these, first of all, they have these jobs that are $8 an hour. So they're basically making what they can basically survive on. So how much money are you sending back to anywhere, and you're already paying taxes? And then they get nailed on some stupid shit, and then they get deported. And it's like, they don't know anything about the country that they were from, be it Guatemala, be it Honduras, be it Mexico, be it wherever. They don't know anything about it. All they know is, I was raised in Chicago, and I speak English.
Right.
That's what they know. So it really, the caging of children to me is just a despicable way of going about it. It's disgusting behavior. You don't have to separate people from their kids. It's just gross.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really, I can't believe that our country of all places would do this. I mean, you think we'd have learned back with the Japanese. We're pretty good about not repeating too many mistakes, but this administration here is just one after the other trying to bring us backwards. This great make America great again, I don't understand. It's bring America backwards again to the places where we weren't that great.
And this was founded, the United States. See, that's why the make America great again stuff is just stupid. I can't stand stupidity. And a lot of it comes from just what you were taught. You know, your beliefs are just that. They're a belief. They're an opinion. They're not fact based. So when it comes to things that are more intelligent, I go along fact-based, so I don't have a lot of room in my head for idiots, and there's a lot of just dumb things that they're pulling right now. The United States, our founding fathers, were all white. It was equal rights for all the white people, and so nobody else mattered. They completely took over, you know, land that was already occupied, and completely took it over and conquered. But that was the mission. So for them to want to make it great again, they want to just make it all white again. It doesn't apply those rules to the way it was in the 1770s. Or even the way it was in, you know, the late 1600s, when they're like, okay, we really, you know, we've got these colonies going here, but we don't want to be under the king's rule. So it's about making sure that all of that white ancestry that actually established the United States is continuing to prosper. When over the past, I can look at the entire industrial age, there have been so many white people that have just been screwed, absolutely screwed. But they feel a sense of entitlement because their ancestors started this place. But that screwing
right.
also happened, that screwing happened from their own white brethren. You know, it happened from their own white relatives that are all in whatever committee or Congress or whatever it is that are all making the decisions. They're doing what's good for themselves. They're not doing what's good for everyone else or even their brother who's suffering. Who's what?
Very true.
I think I'm clear on that. Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break. This is your show for you to call it. Let's take a quick break, Craig. Anyone that wants to call in, join the conversation, give us a call, 347-989-0126. Craig and I have lots to talk about, so we've got another 40 minutes to take your calls. We'll take a quick break and talk about Awaken here from Damian Escobar. You're listening to Standing on Our Soapbox right here on Blog Talk Radio. All righty, we are back, guys. Craig Hurley and I are your co-hosts here on Standing on Our Soapbox. We appreciate you being out there. This is where we talk about everything that's on our mind politically, pop culture, current events, entertainment, the whole nine yards. You guys are invited to call in and talk to us, 347-989-0126. I think we have Craig's actual Skype up and running. Craig, can you hear me on your Skype?
Hold on a second. I can hear you on my phone. One second.
I see you in the studio on your Skype.
Okay,
but can you hear me?
Awesome.
Yeah, actually, I hear a double echo, so it's got to be, I think I'm hearing both your phone and your Skype.
Okay, how about now?
Guys, this is live radio. We're having fun. Welcome to Standing on Our Soapbox and our first co-hosting gig. We're getting this together. Honestly, we're professionals.
Yeah. Okay,
you're
still
hearing
that.
Okay, yeah, I'm hearing double. So hang up your phone and try talking to your mic. If there's a problem, if you don't hear me in a second, then you can call back. But I think you're there.
Okay, how about now?
All right, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
I hear you even crystal clear now. You are perfect. You are
excellent.
Working, my friend.
Okay.
Woohoo!
Cool.
We have liftoff.
Yeah, I finally got my technical difficulties taken care of, I think.
There you go. All right, guys, we're live. We're talking current events, pop culture, all sorts of fun things. Let's move on to a little different topic. We've been talking about, of course, these kids being caged up at the border and Craig's fiance, Katie, being a fantastic play called The Abuelas that talks about the trouble of Venezuela that they're still dealing with today. Let's move on a little bit. I want to talk about the tax situation. Craig, I'm not sure if you're filling up in this, but I'm starting to do my taxes. Did my mom's taxes for her today, and we were promised by this huge tax cut last year that everyone's taxes are going to be so much better and it's going to be better for everyone. Well, it seems like it really is working good for the well-off right now, but starting out the beginning of tax season, the average tax refund is down 8% for the average tax earner, so they're getting less back in the returns, and a lot of them are actually owing money after supposedly saying this isn't going to happen. Man, for actors, you guys have so much weird stuff you have to do with your taxes because you work so many different gigs. Do you even know if this is going to help you guys at all?
I have no
code?
Idea. I have absolutely
crazy.
No
it's
idea.
Crazy stuff. I thought an interesting article that I read, H&R Block, the tax repairs, had a new class for tax season this year, and it wasn't on any of the new tax rules. It was empathy training. They made all their employees go through empathy training because they knew there was going to be this backlash of people making less taxes. This is not a surprise to anyone. People in the tax community knew it. H&R Block did an empathy training for it. It seems what's happening is the withholding taxes did go down, so people didn't see as much coming out of their paychecks, so they saw a little more in their paychecks. But the actual tax rates for middle Americans did not change. So even though they got more in their paycheck every month, it didn't change what they owed at the end of the year. So since they didn't take as much out all year long, some people, they're getting half the income tax they thought they were getting back, and a lot of them are owing for the first time in quite a few years. It's become a huge problem. Twitter's going crazy over it. What's your thought on taxes in general? You got to have some thoughts.
No taxation without proper representation, and our representation currently sucks. So that's we shouldn't pay taxes at all if our taxes aren't going to be used accordingly. They need to be used for infrastructure. They need to be used for healthcare. They need to be used for – there's so many other things that they need to be used for besides somebody's yacht. I'm tired of all these people getting paid an immense amount of money and taking advantage of all of this that they can take advantage of because we're allowing them to. Nobody should pay any taxes. If you make, as a family, if you make less than $200,000 a year as a family unit, you shouldn't have to pay anything, nothing ever, because you're barely surviving. This is everybody spends. I've seen family after family, just normal people. People that just work at freaking Walmart. There's no way that you can, you're making 30 grand or maybe, and then your significant other is also making 30 grand. And then maybe your kid who's still living with you because they can't afford to not, is making another 30 grand. So collectively you're bringing in 90 grand. You can barely get by on that. Just with a mortgage, your
right.
mortgage, what? Your average mortgage is $3,500, right? $4,000. I mean, you're already spending half of your income on that. None of it. It doesn't make any sense. So to be taxed when you don't make enough money, we got to tax the people that do make money. I love that 70% tax bracket thing for billionaires. I don't like it for just millionaires. Sorry.
Right.
Because we got to keep it capitalism, but I do think there needs to be a cap on billionaires. They're a little out of control at this point.
Well,
messing up our water supply, messing up our food
supply,
messing up our energy supply. We're completely reliant on, nobody can afford a Tesla. So we're completely reliant on oil still. As soon as we can get off of oil, it would be great. It's about time we end.
Right. I mean, exactly. And when you talk about the wealthy are not necessarily earning money anymore. A lot of them are just using their money as earning money, but they're not earning any money, and they don't get taxed on their own money earning money. It's such a small, less percentage of everyone else that actually is getting their hard-earned income that they're busting their bunnies for 40, 80 hours a week on, as opposed to some billionaire who's making maybe a couple hundred thousand for being on a board of directors somewhere and making a couple million off the interest of their investments. And so they're not even making for it. So the tax system is so messed up. I don't think you need to penalize anyone for being wealthy, but you should
No.
be able to make it fair for everybody.
Exactly.
It's crazy to me. I just don't understand it. Like you said, it needs to be gone to the consumption tax. If you're under $200,000 a year, I agree 100%. You should have a consumption tax, so you're paying for your tax, your local community to pay for your police, for your fire, for things like that. That's great. I want to chip into that. I'm taking advantage of those services. But as far as an income tax, since if I am barely making money to scrape by or to live at least at a nominal place in life, that I'm paying an income tax. I would pay a consumption tax for things I use, for things that I pay for, to help pay for my local municipalities, to pay for our school, the schools my children go to pay for the police and fire. But it shouldn't be anywhere near what we're paying in income taxes on the money that we're busting our bunnies on. So,
yeah.
That's me on my soapbox for that.
Yeah, a lot of that, actually, if we just follow Colorado's lead on all of this, Colorado pulled in $1 billion on legalizing weed and over a 3-year or 4-year period of time. And they have applied all of those monies to education, even though Denver's teachers are right now on strike. And I'm not too sure what that's about. I'm not sure that it's about actual monies that they're being paid, but probably monies that should be allotted to maintenance on schools and stuff like that, and monies that are not being allotted for textbooks and computers and stuff like that. So, but it may be all of the above. But they applied a whole bunch of monies to education, like $20 million a year, something crazy. And then to healthcare, Colorado has its own Colorado Care, and where Medicaid and Medicare and the Affordable Care Act, where all of these things miss, Colorado Care takes care of. So they're really, and they applied a lot of it to their infrastructure, which is roadways, bridges, as we can see in Chicago right now. The entire Lakeshore Drive is shut down because of a bridge that's collapsing. And these are things that were just built, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Some of these welds are fairly new, and they're just completely cracked and completely falling apart. So monies need to be spent in those areas, and that's what Colorado's been doing as well, is maintenance of roadways and infrastructure, because your sewer treatment plants are falling apart. Everything's falling apart. Everything needs maintained and basically rebuilt. So there's a whole bunch of jobs that are put into play when that happens as well, because you need more people in order to build more things. And I really think that we should look at that. And that's not sales, that $1 billion that they made. It's taxes. So they were able to apply a whole bunch of monies to areas that were desperately needing it. And like when they legalized just weed, because you know me, I feel like we should actually legalize everything. Then we get an idea of what's actually happening to our civilization, and then it's approved. Then it's FDA approved. It's federal government approved. Just like right now with the legalization of weed, it's all very, very, and they've gotten very, very legal on all of that. That's why they're having a hard time in Illinois. They passed it last May, and the city of Chicago was like, no, we're done. We've learned our lesson, and from Colorado and from Denver, and we're going to apply those monies once we get the opportunity. But they need a security system, and that security system for the literally $100 million of tax money that's going to come through in a year. They need, and all the rest of it, the just going from dispensary to bank with those monies. You need something more than Loomis. And that's why Colorado has depended on the Sheriff's Department in Colorado to be associated with every single dispensary. So when you walk into a dispensary in Colorado, you give them your driver's license, and they immediately know who you are. The police do. They immediately know who you are, what you're buying, and what's going on in your life. If you're a felon, if whatever. And to me, I'm fine with that, because it's legal. That's the way I would rather that they know that a person who is, am I still talking? Am I still on air, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't said anything in like 5 minutes, dude. It's been a long ass rant for me.
I'm just agreeing. I just nodding a lot. I need to be on camera.
Nice.
We need nodding. To live stream this as well.
But I feel like it's a much more secure system that they have there, and they actually then know who's doing what with what, and if there's anybody that is actually purchasing too much, you know, and possibly distributing it to other states, which is still illegal, which is just dumb. But that's the way this system is right now. And they want to keep control of that. And I get that. They can't do that in the city of Chicago, because as we know, Chicago police have been corrupt for ever, since they were created. And there's still a shit ton of corruption in Chicago. So that's where the new governor, Pritzker, is going to have a problem getting through that red tape, because that red tape of security, he's going to have to like hire private security for dispensaries in order to really get this going. because there he can't trust. You can't trust. I'm sorry, the DuPage County sheriffs, there's other county sheriffs in the Chicagoland area that are trustworthy, but the Cook County sheriff's not trustworthy. The downtown Chicago, the CPD, dude, they just lit up. I'm sorry, I can't think of his name, but they lit up that kid 16 times. And
right.
With one gun. And all of that stuff is just so corrupt. And I was raised in Illinois, and I was raised in Chicago. So I've seen it my whole life. And there's no way to trust them with $1 billion. You can't do it. So you need to hire like Loomis or somebody like that. But, it's got to be for every dispensary, and it's got to be some type of private security. But the tax will take care of a lot of problems for a lot of people.
I don't know if you had a chance to read on today. I was kind of shocked this morning reading the local paper here. I guess Congress yesterday, finally, after they let it go away last year, 92-8, they did the land conservation program. The Senate passed it. It's been a public land deal that's been going on for decades, but they actually put more together than they already had. I know how much the environment means to you, but it combining on this bill, it brought 100 separate bills together that designated more than 350 miles of river as wild and scenic. It added 2,600 miles of new federal trails, created 700,000 acres of new recreation and conservation areas, and it also took away mineral development from about 370,000 acres in Montana and Washington that they were trying to get back for conservation. This bill's been stalled for a year because that Republican guy, Mike Lee, in Utah, didn't like parts of it. And we have these stupid laws where one senator can stop an entire law from taking effect, even if it pertains to our planet. Talk about your passion for the environment. I know that's one of your pet projects as well. What do you think about this, that we actually had a 98-2 Senate agreement on this bill?
Well, we did have that blue wave that did come through in the last election. And I haven't even heard about it, dude. So it's a positive thing that you're telling me.
It sounds like a positive thing. It sounds like they're adding more lands to conservation use and trying to create more greening, more public park space, more federal park land. So it sounds like it's a positive thing. They were trying to get it done for the last year and a half, but a Republican senator blocked it. One senator.
Weren't they taking a whole bunch of stuff like out of Yosemite and like making and Yellowstone and all of these areas not
exactly they're not, trying to do that not,
and it's not happening
it. It's not happening now.
Okay.
And they're actually making the land and water conservation fund they were starting to take away, that's going back now, which
that's
they,
going,
they had
okay.
stopped money for that.
That made a difference. It's current right now. I mean, look at what Pelosi is doing. So, they're not really putting up with any of the crap anymore. And they needed to do that a while ago. And they needed to do that before when it was when they go low, we go high bullshit. What? When they go low, kick them in the balls. Kick them in the balls, kick them hard, and then they will stop going low. That's the way this works. So, you got to be just as harsh as they're being. And don't try to take the high road on that. That's just dumb. So, hit them the same way.
Yeah, it's one of those don't take a knife to a gunfight situation. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, you got to have a gunfight. I mean, you got to have a gun if you're in a gunfight. No, they go low, we go high. No, just keep hitting them. And that's what they're doing right now. They're like, no, you guys are making up this shit and we're not going to deal with it. We're not even going to like even pay attention to it. You know, it's like, no, we can't go there. You can't open up drilling. Look at what happens to Oklahoma. Oklahoma now has earthquakes. I can repeat that. Oklahoma now has earthquakes. We only had earthquakes in like California, you know. I mean, it's like we now have earthquakes every day in Oklahoma, and it's because of fracking. They pumped out a natural gas. It's a gas. It's more like a vapor than it is a liquid. And then they pumped in liquid, and most of that is hazardous material liquids. They're wastewaters. I'm really not understanding why you would put liquid into an area where there was a gas. You're putting liquid, which is something that makes things slippery and slide, into an area where there was a pocket of virtually air. So now you're causing earthquakes and you're causing the water supply to be completely contaminated. Nobody can live there. And the place is a freaking disaster. Are they going to make those areas conservation areas? Because it's a little too late if those are part of the areas they're talking about. You know, that's that 850 square mile area that we're talking about, making it a conservation area. Nobody can go there because it's completely contaminated. Erin Brockovich has been talking about this for a while. She's concentrating on Florida, though, because Florida is a complete friggin' nightmare as far as the water supply is concerned. It's our trash dump.
Yep.
It's the United States' trash dump is Florida. And it's just been, it's so gross down there. I've spent like 5 years down there because Katie was filming Every Which Way and she was filming a couple novellas, Corazon Valiente. I'm sure I didn't say that right. And I'm sure I said it like a gringo. And she was filming something else. Mary for Mayor, I think, was another one that she was filming. And then Ava Woman Trucker. Ava, I can't pronounce it, but it's Ava Woman Trucker in is the translation. I think
I
it's
love
interesting
it.
There.
I love
there.
It.
Yeah. But anyway, we were filming down there. And, dude, I saw one nightmare scenario after another. Sewage leaking from boats, sewage leaking from canals, just right into Biscayne Bay. And nobody's saying anything. And nobody's really cleaning up after themselves either. I mean, we've got people just dumping McDonald's bags on the ground right next to the beach. Where do you think it's going to end up, dude? So, you know, it's like people got to really, I don't know if I want to get back to like yo mama jokes. Because your mama obviously didn't raise you right. If you don't know how to clean up after yourself, if you don't know how to drive, if you don't know how to be a basic, respectful person, you know, your mama obviously didn't teach you right or raise you right. So, and nobody's, this place is getting really disgusting just because nobody's picking up after themselves or taking their own responsibility for their own stuff. Keep your side of the street clean. Isn't that AA? That's, you know, clean up your side of the street before you can go and judging and looking at other people's side of the street.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
I don't
really
mean to pull out AA on you. Isn't that program coming from me? Wow.
Well, there you go. It's anonymous. We won't know. We won't say anything about it. It's anonymous.
Nice.
Love it. All right, what else is on your hot topics for the week? Anything coming across your desk, entertainment wise, pop culture wise, anything politics pissing you off this week?
No. I did have a question. Well, no, yeah, I think I talked about this already yesterday. The weather and climate thing. Because not even, you know, 45 can you know, figure this one out. He was going off on what's her face for I can't pronounce her last name. she's going to run for president coming up here, and she's running on, you know, climate change. And it ended up at the end of her speech, she was covered in snow. So,
yeah, Klobuchar. Klobuchar from Minnesota.
Yeah, and he made fun of her. And I'm like, dude, what don't you understand about science? I mean, it, you know, these are the basics, bro, that the weather phenomenons that we're experiencing on a daily basis, stronger and worse, be it heat and drought or snow and rain, they're worse. And we've seen it happening, Houston and all, every hurricane that came through this past 2 years. It was just absolutely dumping a bunch of rain and flooding out these areas that don't normally get flooded out.
Do me a favor, because a lot of people that are listening to this show don't necessarily listen to Leftist Rachel Entertainment Show. So you did a great talk yesterday about the difference between weather and climate. Do you mind bringing that up again today and talking about that?
Weather?
I thought it was a great analogy.
Yeah, weather is what happens on a daily basis. Like today, we're experiencing in Chicago, last night, it was blizzard and snow. But in general, which is climate is what happens on an annual basis. We take it over. I went to Penn State for meteorology, and a lot of my meteorology, which is weather forecasting, a lot of my professors work with the National Weather Service, and you can see their names on the bottom of the computer-generated graphs that they send out. They taught me a lot about what this actually is. And climate is what happens over a year. And it's not going to be all year long that it's snowing, okay, in Chicago. That's not going to happen. It happens on this particular day. That's weather. Weather is what happens specifically. Climate is over a year period of time. I'm going to continue to repeat myself until
people like
get it.
People don't seem to understand the difference, starting with our president. So I think we need
and
to
when
talk
you look
about
at
daily.
When you look at the climate over a year period of time, well, Al Gore actually said it wrong. It is global warming, but it's not. It's just climate change. Because in order for the planet to slip into an ice age, which it's done many times before without our help, it has to go through a drought, a period of drought and heating first. And overall, our climate, because of our input, we pump a bunch of pollution into the air. Just breathing. We pump a bunch of pollution into the air, but our cars, our factories, all of that is causing some serious, serious problems with our climate. We have gotten warmer over decades because of that. And even though you're experiencing 55 degrees below zero in Chicago last week, you are not going to be experiencing 55 degrees below zero for an extended period of time. So you don't, you know, you're not even going to be living here. Nobody will. So it's impossible. And I'm not sure if I, am I clear on that? Yeah. That you got to go through a stage of drought. Yeah. You got to go through a stage of drought first. And that's what it's always done, according to what our scientists have seen, what our geologists have seen, and what their calculations are. And the majority of their calculations are not flawed. They are very, very precise. So because we're all basing things on numbers and we're all basing things on facts. Any scientist does. I'm a weird combination of science and artist. But I actually see that as the same thing. The arts and the science go together all the time. And they're currently being both attacked. But I think the majority of people really get that, and that our influence over like 50 years or 100 years has been extremely detrimental to not only our own health and welfare, but our planet's health and welfare. And the planet will correct itself. It will. If we're the virus, if we're the cancer, if humans are the cancer, then, you know, if we're the plague, she'll wipe us off. She'll just shake us off with one earthquake and a tidal wave. Here you go. Bye. So, you know, look what she did to Fukushima in Japan just in 2009 or 2010. Wipe that whole city clean for the third time in 100 years. She'll do it over and over. The planet will. It'll take care of itself wherever it finds a problem. And I'm pretty sure that's what Al Gore was trying to convey, that we're on our way to creating, to forcing an ice age, which isn't going to be good for anybody, not anybody on this rock, because that's all we are, is this little rock floating out in space. I don't know. They turned the Hubble, Voyager around and tried to take a picture of the planet, and when it was a billion miles away from us, and we're just this little tiny blue dot. We're nothing. There's nothing inhabitable. Nothing, nothing, nothing that we can reach ever. Nothing that we can reach. Nothing within, not even Mars. It's not inhabitable, guys. That was a freaking movie. You know, it's something that could actually be done. We're not there.
Right.
So we have to really take care of what we have.
Well, that is a great note to end it on. I can't believe we've gone through an hour already. Mr.
Wow.
Craig Hurley, welcome to Standing on Our Soapbox. We're going to be doing this every Wednesday from 5 to 6, and we'll invite you to call in. If Craig, being the actor and bon vivant around town as he is, we may have to pre-tape a couple of these, but we're going to bring you our opinions, thoughts, and expositories on the world at large every Wednesday. Craig, thanks for being part of the show. Anything you want to say before we head out?
No, I had a blast, dude. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you. Stand the line for me. We are going to play out to a little more Damien Escobar. This is Awaken. Thanks for listening to Standing on the Soapbox. We'll be back here next Wednesday, 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio.